From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I got big problems today, everybody, and I'm a little miffed. I don't mind admitting it either. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, the Monday edition of the show. What's happened to decorum and decency here in the United States of America? Now, many of you of a certain age will remember that there was a time not so long ago, that would be the 1970s, when if you went on an airplane trip, you would dress up. The ladies, you would wear your Sunday going to church clothes. Guys, you would wear a coat and tie. And even the little munchkins, the little urchins, you would wear a little tiny suit coat, and you would wear a tie. People dressed up. They wanted to look their very best when they went out to catch an airplane. Or even, and if any of you remember these days, there was a time when ladies, you would dress up, and I don't mean to sound sexist here, but there was a time when only the ladies went grocery shopping, and you would dress up for that. You know, you wanted to look your very best if you were, you know, in the produce section, or, you know, you're flirting with the butcher to get a better piece of, you know, cut of meat, if you will. So there was just a time when people took pride in the way they looked when they were walking around in public. And I remember even back going to Red Lobster, which was like, in our family, that was like, wow, you're going to Ruth's Chris, or, you know, you're going to Morton's Steakhouse. That's like fancy dining. Back in the day, it was. There was also a time when people would dress up to go to the Olive Garden. I know that was a long time ago. So anyway, I'm watching this morning, and the White House, you know, they're hosting Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, and Zelensky is a slob, and he's cosplaying the role, right? He's wanting you to think that he's some sort of a wartime leader, so he wears pants and he wears a T-shirt. But we all know that the guy knows how to dress, but he's thumbing his nose at Trump, and so they asked him in advance of today's meetings, hey, you need to wear a suit. You know, you're going to the White House, you need to wear a suit. Well, I'll be doggone if that guy didn't show up wearing a black T-shirt this morning. And I don't know what happened, but it's just, folks, the guy has been getting billions of our tax dollars, dragging us into a war that we've got no business being a part of. The least you think the guy could do is dress up and wear a suit and tie. These kinds of people just drive me nuts. This guy, it's all about himself. And here's the deal. You would have thought that with the billions of dollars we've been giving this guy, he could have taken a few bucks, gone down to JCPenney in Kiev, and got himself a nice suit, just even off the rack. Well, I don't know what happened between the time I tweeted that and the White House meeting, but now we're being told that Zelensky has a suit coat on. Here's what I think happened. Back in the day at Red Lobster, or this may have been Steak and Ale, when you showed up and you didn't have the right attire on, they would give you a sport coat to wear. Just, they had some extras there, and you had to dress up. They weren't going to let you just walk into the dining room looking like a slob. But here's what I would have done. As soon as I saw the guy in a T-shirt, say, you know what? You're out of here. You're not stepping foot on the White House property until you come back here dressed appropriately. And I know this all sort of went casual back during the Obama years. But I got to tell you, we've got to bring back a sense of decorum in this country. Show a little bit of respect. It's the leader of the free world, for crying out loud. We're talking about Donald J. Trump. And again, I appreciate what President Trump is trying to do here. But let me tell you, the reporting coming out of what happened Friday in Alaska, ladies and gentlemen, it's insane. So here's the deal. The media, and I'm talking about even Fox, and Howie Kurtz, and who's the chick, the White House chick, Jackie Heimerk Maneuver or something, she's getting married to a never-Trump congressman. So you kind of know where that relationship is going. And clearly that influences her reporting, and she is an anti-Trumper. So she was giving the reporting in real time, talking about how bad, how horrible it was that Putin had steamrolled Trump. Did you see it like that, ladies and gentlemen? Did you see and Howard Kurtz from Fox News talking about how it was a disaster and Donald Trump didn't know what he was doing? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a man who literally wrote a best-selling book on the art of the deal. And even, look, I haven't written a best-selling novel or book called The Art of the Deal, but even I know that when you're trying to strike a peace deal, the first thing on the agenda is not cussing out Vladimir Putin. It's just simply not, that's not how it's done. So all of these people out there, you know, armchair quarterbacking, for me, it was a matter of Trump showing some respect to Putin while at the same time showing that the United States isn't playing around. We're not messing around. That's one of the reasons why you had the flyover with the B-2 Spirit bomber and the F-35s. You better believe somebody's teeth were rattling when that happened. So there were a lot of messages being sent, some covert, others not so much, saying that Trump is in charge here. As a matter of fact, the body language experts all believe that Donald Trump actually was operating from the power position on Friday. And it started when they came down the red carpet. How dare they? How dare Donald Trump roll out the red carpet for a communist like Vladimir Putin? How dare he? Okay, well, we weren't going to put him up in the Motel 6 in Anchorage. I mean, what do you want from this guy? As a matter of fact, this was all. If you want to talk about the American responsibility for what's happening in Ukraine right now, that falls entirely on the head of Barack Hussein Obama. He's the one that basically turned a blind eye to Russia moving in to Ukraine. So if you want to blame somebody, we can have that conversation. But that conversation goes all the way back to the Obama administration. Trump is just trying to clean up a mess that he did not create. The other part of the Ukraine problem was created by Joe Biden. So, sure, we can have that conversation, but at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump is trying to keep us all from having to fight World War III. That's what Trump is trying to do here. And I hope it works out. But let me explain how this is going to go down. Nobody's going to be a winner here. If Trump does this the right way, nobody's a winner. Ukraine's going to have to give up something. Russia's going to have to give up something. But this idea that Zelensky thinks that he can just waltz right in here and get everything he's asking for, that's simply not going to happen. It's just not. So we'll see how all this plays out. We're going to be taking your calls on this. Who do you stand with in all of this, ladies and gentlemen? Ukraine? Do you stand with Russia? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls on this. We have a lot of ground to cover today, and we'll be keeping you up to date on what's going on in Washington. But I'm telling you right now, the level of disrespect, this guy not showing up in a suit and tie, the guy's a piece of garbage. That's what he is. He's a piece of garbage. Unbelievable. And I'm telling you, if that suit coat somehow gets misplaced between there and the Oval Office, if I were Trump, I wouldn't let the guy in the building. Tell him to come back when he's taking a shower, put on some deodorant, and he's wearing a tie. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. We're going to your calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right, we got a caller upset, didn't want to come on the air. I don't know why. He just didn't want to come on the air. But he said, Starnes, you're being judgmental. How dare you? How dare you criticize Zelensky's dress? All right, well, you know what? I don't think I'd be that bothered if he was wearing a dress. At least he would have looked appropriate for the moment. The fact of the matter is this, ladies and gentlemen, and hear me. Hear me on this. Even a bum on the street is going to try to do their best to look nice if they're going to the White House. You mean to tell me Zelensky, and there is a dress code at the White House. You don't want to ever disrespect the President of the United States. I don't care who you are. You don't show up there looking like a bum off the streets. And you're telling me that Zelensky, somebody couldn't, in the Ukrainian delegation, couldn't even go down to the Salvation Army and buy like a cheap suit off the rack? You're telling me that they couldn't find anybody to just go buy a $2 tie at Goodwill? No, no, no. Zelensky's doing this because it's really an up yours. That's exactly what he's trying to say. Zelensky thinks that he's got us over a barrel, and that would be a very bad mistake if he's going into these meetings thinking that's the case. It's not good. So look, here's the deal. If NATO, if they want to go after Russia, that's on NATO, not us. Now, by the way, you got it. Let's go all the way back to 2014. You say, Tom, what happened in 2014? I'm going to tell you what happened in 2014. That was when Russia decided to invade or annex Crimea. And what did Obama do? Obama said, well, we just have to focus on things diplomatically and economically. We can't be getting into a shooting war. So that's what Obama's policy was at that point. And again, why do we care? Why is this our fight? Somebody needs to explain that to me. Why is this our fight? Why should we be concerned about Ukraine? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Why should we be sending American troops over there? Why should we be sending billions of our tax dollars over? I just want somebody to explain that to me. Because right now the only person in Washington, D.C. who's calling for peace is a guy by the name of Donald J. Trump. You've got people on both sides of the aisle. You've got the Democrats and you've got the Republican war hawks. And they're just foaming at the mouth, hoping and praying that we can actually get ourselves into a shooting war with Russia. And I don't know about you, but I think we would win that war. The question is, how many cities would both nations lose? Is it possible that World War III could involve nukes? I mean, you have to take all of that in consideration. And Trump is doing his best, by the way, to keep us out of a shooting war with the Russians. No, don't get me wrong here. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of the Russians. I think we've got the greatest fighting force on the planet. But the question is that in our best interest? That's the issue. Is it in our best interest? And I just don't think it is. I mean, is it, you know, are we supposed to be the world's police? Is that what we're supposed to do? I don't think we are. I think we look after ours and ours alone. That is not an isolationist position, but every time we get ourselves into a situation like, for example, regime change, it always turns out bad. I would encourage you to look at what's happening in Iraq right now. Look what happened in Iran after the Shah that we platformed was thrown out of the country. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, and that's really where we're at right now. So I hope they can work out a deal that doesn't involve the United States. I mean, do you believe that we ought to be sending our fighting men and women over there? I don't know about that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Another big story we've been following out of Florida, Fort Pierce, Florida. This is a terrible story. There was an accident on the Florida Turnpike. Three Americans were killed. And now we learned the person responsible is an illegal. Police say that the driver of a semi-truck was making a U-turn across four lanes of traffic there on the turnpike, and motorists were having to take evasive action. One car was not able to avoid the collision, and they slammed right into the back of the 18-wheeler. The driver, he's from India, and he crossed our southern border back in 2018. The guy's name is Harjinder Singh. And he literally had a commercial driver's license in California. Without a valid ID, this guy was able to go and get a commercial driver's license. And it turns out that California allows all illegals to get driver's licenses, meaning there are Lord knows how many people operating 18-wheelers who cannot speak English, who do not understand our road signs. So now Singh is in custody. He's facing homicide charges as well as immigration violation charges. But you've got three dead Americans. And my question is, I've been doing a lot of driving lately, and I don't know about you, but I have seen a lot of these big rig drivers. And years back, they were the safest drivers on the road. But man, I've noticed myself taking evasive action even here in Tennessee, just driving on the interstate, and when you glance up into the cabs of the truck, it's pretty clear that these are either immigrants or illegals. And I'm wondering if you're sensing the same thing out there. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, the way I see it here, California is ultimately responsible for this. And that would be Gavin Newsom. You know, this guy and their policies, they're just putting so many lives in danger. And by the way, California is not the only one giving licenses out to illegals. And that's got to stop. That's just got to stop. We will share the full list, when we come back from break here. Again, our telephone number, if you'd like to weigh in on the big stories of the day, 901-260-5926. Also, head over to our website, toddstearns.com. Want to encourage you to download our free app. You can listen to the show wherever you are in America. You can also listen to it on the road by downloading our free app. You can do that right now at toddstearns.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
The Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, all the world leaders are arriving at the White House. All of them are dressed in coat and tie. So we thank you, world leaders, for showing a little bit of respect to the United States of America. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Josh in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on the illegals and the driver's licenses. Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, I love your show, man.
Thank you.
I've been in food service for over 30 years. And I have worked with a lot of Latinos. I've actually learned not to say Mexican. Some are from El Salvador, and you call them Mexican, they slap you in the face. It's like doing a Scottish person and an Irish person. So I just say Latinos in general. But I have worked with a lot of Latinos in the last 30 years, and I've come to find out a lot of them have been illegal. But somehow, some way, they all have driver's license. Some have social security cards, and they, you know, if somebody gets sick, you know, how do you? You don't have health insurance. They just say that they go to a local hospital, and they just don't answer any letters or anything, and the hospital writes it off. I just don't understand. When my dad took me to get my driver's license, we had to have three or four different types of identification. This was back in the 90s. How do they have driver's license, period?
You know, Josh, it's a great question. And beyond that, I mean, when you show up at the DMV, which, and I had to do this not too terribly long ago to get my Tennessee license, you have to show up with, like, multiple forms of identification. Whether it's a social security card, birth certificate, you've got to have an electric bill, or, you know, something to prove you're actually a citizen of Tennessee. It was insane. And I saw people there that did not have that documentation, and they were sent out the door. I will say this, there were a lot of people there who did not speak a lick of English. Many of them were speaking some south of the border language, Josh, and I didn't see them being told to come back.
Yeah, I just don't understand how it's possible to actually do that. And I know your time is precious, so I'm going to let you talk about this off the air, or on the air, I'm sorry, without me. But I would like to say, I called in about a month ago to tell you about my son. He left yesterday to go on the boat. He's a Marine. And
is that
going overseas? He's going overseas on tour. He left yesterday.
Well, do you want to share his first name so that folks can maybe offer a prayer for him?
His name's Tristan.
Tristan.
He's a crew chief on HB-53 helicopter for the Marine Corps.
Josh, I can promise you this. There are people writing down Tristan's name right now, and they're adding him to their daily prayer list. So, man, we're excited for Tristan. I know that's tough for you to see him leave, but he'll be back soon. And we sure do appreciate the great patriotic family you guys have.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Josh, hang in there. My goodness, good for him. So Tristan, he's a crew chief with the U.S. Marine Corps. And, folks, I hope you'll certainly pray for Josh and his family. He's a proud dad, and who wouldn't be proud? I'm sure he hates to see his son leave, though. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina, WSIC territory. Hi, Charles. What's going on?
Well, Todd, I tell you, I've been thinking about this whole Ukraine situation ever since Friday when they got back from Anchorage. And I don't know, Todd, I don't know about you, but I've got a bad feeling. I've got a bad feeling that Trump is going to be pulled into the orbit of the globalists, and he's going to somehow cave into security guarantees, which could lead to American military involvement in Ukraine. And I can tell you right now, that's not the reason I voted for Donald Trump. And I do not, just like you, I do not believe that Ukraine is in the vital interest of the United States. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I hope Trump tells the Europeans that we're not going to give you one damn penny. You guys can underwrite the whole thing. You're not getting any security guarantee from the United States. And furthermore, we need to talk about somehow withdrawing from NATO. It's been 80 years since the end of World War II. We bailed you out in World War I, World War II, the Cold War. It's time for you guys to step up to the plate, defend your culture, but we're done. Our part is done. But, yeah, I don't want to get involved in Ukraine militarily at all, Todd. I think it's a big mistake, and I think it would drive a stake in the heart of MAGA and divide MAGA if that happened.
So, well, I think it would. No doubt about that. And I know that Trump doesn't believe that we ought to have boots on the ground over there, or the fact that we can't be fighting a proxy war. You know, if Russia was doing that, if any other country was doing that to us, we'd be going after the country that was behind it all, right? Isn't that why we went into Afghanistan in the first place? Remember the aftermath of 9/11? We do have precedent there, and we're the ones who set that precedent. So, yeah, Russia, I mean, if we're providing the missiles that are being used against Russia, Russia could come after us. And that's a big concern I've got. But, Charles, the question for American moms and dads, and we've got a lot of military families listening, do you want your sons and daughters to die in Ukraine? I mean, that's the question.
Yeah, and if people really know the historical context of this conflict, they're going to come to the conclusion, they're going to say, definitive, hell no. I mean, when you go back to the end of World War II after the Soviet Union fell apart, died in the 90s, Bush promised Gorbachev that NATO would not advance one inch east. Since that time, they've absorbed, 16, 17 countries. They've gone 1,000 miles east. And I think that we've had a big part in the provocation. And then when we overthrew the legitimately elected government of Ukraine in 2014 and installed a pro-Western government and toyed with the idea of Ukraine joining NATO, I think the Russians said, to hell with it. No, you're not going to do it. So if people really understood that, and, you know, it's not that I'm taking Putin's side, Todd, but this is a very complex issue, but it's not our fight, and we just need to stay out of it.
Charles, 1,000% agree with you. And again, we would not allow the Soviets to set up shop in Cuba. There was you can go back to the 13 days in September and the JFK, the Bay of Pigs, all of that. So we're setting these precedents, and Russia is right to be concerned. They don't want NATO right up against their border. They see what that would lead to. So. But Trump's already said he's not going to, you know, put Ukraine in NATO. That's already off the table. We'll see how this plays out. But I'm hoping for a massive Trump victory here. The question is, what is Ukraine going to do? Because every time, Charles, every time we have pushed back, we've ended up sending them even more money.
Yeah, and I don't think we need to send them any more money or any more armaments. If you want to stop the killing, you're going to have to cut that off.
Yep.
And, I just hope he has some very frank conversations with that little twerp today, here in about another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And say, look, you're gonna cut a deal. This is what you're going to do. But we're out. We're out.
All right, Charles, I'm out here. We've got to take a quick break. Thank you for calling in. Great comments. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is The Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, Mary Beth writing in on our Facebook live stream. Todd, I'm praying for Tristan right now. Go Marines! With three American flag emojis. God bless you, Mary Beth. Thank you for that. Oh, by the way, have you heard the news? This is insane. MSNBC has officially changed its name to MS. So they've literally changed the network to the name of a disease. MS. Here's how crazy it is. The MSNBC brand was so toxic, the shows on that network were so toxic that even NBC didn't want to have anything to do with them. So there you go. Wow, what a mess. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve is on the line. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I know this sounds a little far-fetched, but I think we're at the perfect time right now that we should dissolve NATO, we should dissolve the United States, and create a Western Hemisphere coalition of nations and an Eastern Hemisphere coalition of nations. You got the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean as natural boundaries, and start working more with our Central American and South American neighbors and to build the Western Hemisphere into what we've started here in the United States, and let Europe and the Eastern Hemisphere do their thing.
Yeah, look, I got no problem with that. And, Steve, here's the problem. Our allies in Europe right now, especially Western Europe, Belgium, France, the UK, their value system is about to radically change. They have been completely overrun by the Islamists, and their values are not our values anymore. So we pulled their fat out of the fire two times in world wars. And what do? They turn around and they slap us in the face and ask us for more money. I got no problem saying goodbye to those folks.
That's why I'm suggesting we're more in tune with South America ethnically and culturally, religiously, socially, everything than we are Europe now.
Steve, I like that. I like that idea. So you think we ought to tell NATO so long?
NATO so long, the United Nations so long, and not, you know, I'm not talking about not let anybody cross the ocean. I'm talking about manage our economies, our defenses, and our governments to be a coalition of Western Hemisphere nations.
Yeah.
And we work together to build the society we want and let the Eastern Hemisphere build the society they want. And we'll do a little test here and see 100 years from now, who's got the best society?
I got no problem with that. I will say this. There are now, for example, Poland has been a great ally in Europe. They've done a great job. But all the others, yeah, they should be on their own. All right. Steve, thank you for the call. This story from Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi. Ole Rebel, hotty totty. University of Mississippi professor Kisei Lehman is very upset that President Trump is, quote, impulsive, greedy, gleefully ignorant, but also has a big booty. So this is an actual professor at the University of Mississippi, hotty totty. Lehman said, when I read like Trump in third grade, all my boys would whisper, why can't he read? Over 30 years later, this blank gets a standing ovation for never even being hooked on phonics. What is this guy talking about? So anyway, the professor goes on to talk about President Trump's, quote, juicy booty. Trump is what white folks feared the first black president would be, except he's a mascot for white supremacy. Professor Lehman teaches English and creative writing at Ole Miss. of Trump, he writes, he's impulsive, greedy, gleefully ignorant, big-bootied, erratic, terrible with money, sexually violent, hooks up with felonious friends, has three baby mamas, and eats all the chicken. Is this true? I mean, he does love KFC. The fact that he has a big booty is the greatest betrayal. Spiritually, he belongs to the land of the booty bereft. What is he talking about? Anyway, he goes on a much more profane rant. This guy doesn't like Donald Trump at all. And yet, we pay this man salary. The University of Mississippi, hotty totty, is a taxpayer-funded school. Unbelievable. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Look, the fact of the matter is that a lot of black folks in this country are now coming to terms with the fact that Donald Trump is, in fact, a friend of minorities in this community, or in this nation, rather. So I want you to listen to this. I'll tell you what, we'll play some of this audio when we come back, where you have these black liberals going up against black conservatives in these debate circles, and they're getting their butts handed to them. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I'm telling you, there's something happening within the black community, and folks are finally realizing, you know what, the Democrats, they really don't care about us. Go and look. I want you to think about this. When you look at the big protest in Washington, D.C. right now, the people that are protesting, the ICE agents and the National Guard, they are predominantly, like 99% of the crowds are white people. The black people, on the other hand, you know what they're doing? They're like thanking President Trump. And they're going on Instagram and TikTok and X, and they're saying, man, we are so glad that Trump is doing something about the violence here. People are sick and tired of it. And all the whites, these white liberals out there who are these saviors to the black community, they would rather people live in fear. They would rather people live in these war zones. It's just insane. But the average black person, you walk down the streets in D.C., and they're going to tell you, you know what, this has been amazing. God bless President Trump. We used to have to walk down the streets and people were shooting guns at us. People were getting carjacked. There's all this other stuff going down. We're excited about this. I can actually go take a walk in the evening time without worried about getting carjacked or robbed. So when you look at things from that lens and look at most of the protests that are happening out there against Trump, they're all old white people. Old white liberals, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's going on. They got nothing else to do. These are rent-a-mobs. These are not organic by any stretch of the imagination. And the mobs are out there targeting Trump because that's what they're paid to do. That's what's really going on here. All right, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Want to remind you, if you haven't already done so, is get yourself a copy of my latest book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You're going to love this book, folks. It is doing so well. We're selling lots of copies across the country, and a lot of people are buying extra copies to use as gifts. So again, I want to encourage you to get a copy wherever you buy your books, if it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or if you would like a personally signed copy, well, you'll be able to get a copy over at my website, toddstearns.com, so you can do that during the break. Coming up, we're going to be checking in with our great friend, the Republican strategist, Steve Gill. We're going to be taking a look at how all of this is playing in Washington right now with Trump, Zelensky, and Putin. We're also paying attention to the meetings, which are just about ready to get underway. We'll keep you updated. If there's anything breaking, we'll let you know about it. Also, Gen Zers bringing their mommy and daddy to job interviews. We'll tell you what that's all about. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I'm Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Starts.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, any moment now, we're expecting Zelensky at the White House. We're going to keep you updated when all of that happens. Welcome, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Great to have you with us today. I am curious, before we bring in Steve Gill, I am curious to hear your thoughts on this. There is a crazy story from Campus Reform, which is a great resource. They're saying that there is a new survey out there, and 77% of Gen Z job seekers have brought mommy or daddy along to a job interview. The organization called Resume Templates did a survey last month, and they found 77% said, yeah, they brought a parent along to a job interview, and 53% said their parent had spoken with a hiring manager on their behalf. What's going on here? I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, if you have been along on a job interview. And by the way, if your child asked you, "Mom, Dad, would you mind going along with me on this job interview?" What would you tell your child? The survey polled 831 Gen Z adults who are employed full-time. I'm sorry. This is shocking to me. Shocking. I remember my dad dropping me off, and I walked because I didn't have a driver's license when I was a little kid, when I got my very first job, which was at Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits. Back when we had to wear orange polyester and there weren't any fist fights. But yeah, I mean, but my dad waited for me. I went in, I spoke to the manager, I filled out the application. What is it about today's kids that mom and dad have to tag along? That's very odd. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's bring in the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, a great source of news and information, Steve Gill. Steve, I mean, you've got sons. Did you go along with them on job interviews?
They didn't even want me to try and call people to try and help them get jobs. And generally what we'd find is that when they'd say, yeah, do you know anybody at this company to help? I only know the CEO and the president, a little bit higher than the information they needed. But here's my comment, Todd. Can you imagine how tense it will be at Thanksgiving when mom or dad get hired instead of the kid?
Oh, wow. Well, fair enough.
You know, we really kind of like you, but we'd really rather hire your dad or your mom. I think they're more qualified for this senior position.
Remember, there was a great episode of Everybody Loves Raymond when the oldest son, I forget his name, Robert Perrone, was applying to be an FBI agent, and he didn't get the job, and so his mother goes, Marie, she went and tried to get the job. Again, that was back in the 90s. Who knew people would actually start doing that?
They were ahead of their time. I saw another survey this week on Gen Z that made me scratch my head as well. That they are different. They're a different group of folks, and this might just be yet another example of taking your parent to your job interview.
There's a woman named Julia Toothaker who is a career consultant, and Campus Reform interviewed her. She said she was shocked by the statistics and says it's just proof that this generation is just not as prepared for the world that you have to have a parent tag along.
Well, it's bad enough that they have to sit in interviews because they're not used to actually conversing with anybody, and they're wanting to text their answers across the desk to the interviewer. They're not prepared to even have that kind of conversation. And again, for those students and for those young folks who have the soft skills, the interview skills, the communication skills, they're going to be so far ahead of the game in the years ahead because you have a whole generation, and it got worse during COVID when there was no interaction. I was just talking to a friend of mine whose son is just starting at the University of South Carolina next week. I guess they start classes tomorrow, but Rush starts in another couple of weeks. They moved in this week. Like two-thirds of his classes are virtual, even though they're on campus, even though they're living in the dorm. Professors will not actually be in the classrooms. Everything, a half to two-thirds of his classes are virtual.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense at all. It seems to me, though, Steve, when you look at this kind of a story, I'm wondering if you can really blame the kids if they're parents, because it sounds to me like mom and dad haven't done a good job of actually preparing their child for the real world. Because again, we're talking about kids that are already out of high school and college. So this is insane that moms and dads haven't prepared their kids to get out there and, be somewhat self-sufficient.
And again, how much of this is that the parents are insisting? We've had a generation or so of the helicopter parents where they're trying to direct every little thing that their child goes through. How much of this is that the Gen Z has been in this helicopter generation for the last 20 years of their life, and they are, as you said, not prepared to do it on their own? Because the parents have never cut the cords even marginally leading up to their going to college or going into the workforce. Again, I'd say that the parents, share a fair amount of blame if they've not taught any self-reliance and independence during the time they've been raising the kids.
It's really a funny generation, this group of kids, because you've got this is the same generation that's out there more conservative than any other generation in recent memory. This is the same generation that is going back to church. And so it's like you have like the best of both worlds, and then you've got the worst of it, too. Sort of like a mixed bag, I guess.
But if you want to keep secrets from them, all you have to do is write in cursive, because they apparently can't read cursive. So you don't need to, like, when parents as little kids, when most of my kids were babies, you'd spell the bad words out rather than say them. You can just write them out in cursive. They won't even know what you're talking about.
Or you could send them an email because they'll never read it. So Steve Gill joining us, publisher of TriStar Daily, 901-260-5926, if you want to weigh in on that story. Steve, we're watching events unfolding in Washington. I'm curious, what's your take on what's going to happen today?
Well, apparently Zelensky is part of this Gen Z generation because he's bringing his mommies and daddies and uncles and aunts to meet with President Trump on his behalf, because the guy who claims to be this, leader of this democratic country, even though he's banned opposition political parties, banned independent journalism, gone after the Russian Orthodox Church and canceled elections, this bastion of democracy can't even meet with the president by himself. I'm seeing that he just got out of the vehicle, and he's apparently wearing a suit. Now, he met earlier today with Clark Kellogg, the governor's or the president's envoy, and he was wearing a black T-shirt. He has now arrived in a suit. So he is a slow learner, but he does learn.
Well, I'll say this. Somebody actually put up this image is going viral. Somebody put up on one of the D.C. buildings a giant sign, "Wear a suit, bro."
my My advice to him also is do not mutter under your breath Russian terms like what the F, which is what happened in the last meeting with President Trump and with Vice President Vance. The moment that you saw his ambassador to the U.S. put her hand into her head and start shaking her head was the moment that he had muttered under her breath, under his breath, what the F to Trump and to Vance. Now, they didn't understand him. She did. And the video of that, you know, went viral, showing, again, not just the disrespect in terms of his choice of attire, but also his attitude towards the president and the vice president. What I think is going to happen today, Todd, and I've been predicting it for the last week, this is essentially a trap by President Trump. He met with Putin. The White House has been issuing all sorts of indications of what they're, you know, saying that he should accept in terms of giving up Crimea officially, giving up the Donbass officially, agreeing that NATO will not expand into Ukraine, all of which could have avoided this conflict at the beginning. A million people would still be alive today if they had simply done this at the outset, as many were recommending. But apparently what President Trump is telling him he will do is this resolution that should be accepted, and yet Zelensky is still claiming, oh, the Constitution prohibits me from doing that. That's a lie. The Constitution says you cannot cede Ukrainian territory without a referendum. He could allow a referendum, and it would vote overwhelmingly because the people in most of Ukraine would say, we're done with this. Let these Russian people go. But he's not telling the truth there. And he's still saying that they're winning the war on the battlefield and that they're not giving up one inch of Ukrainian soil. Well, that is not what the deal is going to be.
Yeah, no, there's some new polling data out today by CNN. And they say that there is a complete shift in attitude towards the war. Back in 2022, 73% of Ukrainians wanted to fight until Ukraine won. Now only 24% want to fight until they've won. That tells me that they've got to be exhausted here, and they want this over.
Well, and that 24% are the sons and daughters of the rich elites in Kiev who are going to nightclubs and not being dragged into vans and sent to the front lines. Over a million military-age men, this according to the BBC, have fled Ukraine rather than fight for their own country. The fact that they're not willing to fight for their country should ask us, why are we funding the fight for their country, and why is there a demand that French or British or German or American soldiers be dispatched when the Ukrainians are not willing to fight? I mean, some of them are. Some of them are dying. Most of them are being dragged forcibly to the front line and being returned in body bags or not being returned at all. Apparently, one of the decisive moments in the Putin-Trump meeting and the book that was presented to Trump has now become available. President Putin, you know, showed the faces and names of 1,000 Ukrainian POWs that Ukraine is refusing to accept back. So again, whether it's the dead bodies they won't accept back because then they have to pay the families a big chunk of money, but and they don't have the money unless we fund it. They're not willing to accept prisoners of war back. The last exchange, I think Russia got back like 18 soldiers and 1,000 Ukrainian soldiers got released. They can't handle these guys coming back because then they have to start paying them.
Steve, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend, and we're going to keep watching developments unfold here. I want to give you the last word, though. It just seems to me that at the end of the day, we can't be getting into a war here. I mean, this is not our fight.
Well, and I think that's what President Trump is going to point out. He's bringing peace to the table, and if Zelensky and the European leaders refuse to accept it, I think it lets him say, and that's why I think it's a bit of a trap for Zelensky and the Europeans, this wasn't my war. I've brought it to an end. You're not willing to end it. It takes two sides to agree to a conclusion. This is what should be accepted. You're saying no. I'm out. Our money's out. We're not providing more weapons. Western Europe, you guys go do whatever you want to do. Zelensky, good luck to you.
All right, Steve Gill, great to have you with us again. And be sure to check out TriStarDaily.com. Great website. Steve, thanks a lot now.
Talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
All right. Zelensky showed up late. This guy, such disrespect, this guy. All right. We've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. We're also going to be taking your thoughts on this poll of Gen Zers. Moms, dads, would you go along if your child asked you to tag along on a job interview? And what did you do? What did you do, moms and dads, to prepare your kids for the real world? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
You know, Dylan, I was looking at the new logo for MSNBC. Made an interesting observation. So for one thing, they're getting rid of it so bad. Apparently, they're so to the left, even NBC News doesn't want to have anything to do with them. So the NBC part has to go away. So now they're only going to be known as MS, which is, of course, a disease. And I'm not too sure. It's kind of like, remember back in the 70s, ladies and gentlemen, when our moms would all drink Tab and they would take AIDS? Remember that, the AIDS diet loss candies? Yeah, AIDS, that was just, it was bad branding. At the time, nobody knew, but, you know.
And all the commercials are like, we love AIDS. We have it. I know.
I've never lost so much weight on AIDS. So it happens. What are you going to do?
Now we know.
So anyway, I couldn't help but notice they've also added, they want people to know they love America over at MS and the Disease Network. And so they have a little flag, an American flag logo there. And I had this up on our social media pages. Dylan, I noticed something. That flag looks like the letter P. So now they are the PMS Network.
What's worse?
PMS or MS? I will leave that. I'll leave that to our good listeners to decide. Oh, geez, Alou. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, I have to tell you, our friends at Old Glory Bank, I love these guys. And you know why? Because so many conservatives were debanked over the past 4 or 5 years in this country. And that's why Old Glory Bank is around. Because they're not ever going to surrender or cave to the cancel culture mob or these political agendas. And I want you to go and check them out. Founded by our good buddy, Larry Elder, and also Dr. Ben Carson. This is an FDIC-insured bank, and it is a bank that you can trust. They've got your back. I want you to go check them out, oldglorybank.com/Starnes. And consider making the switch today. It's super simple. You can apply online and open up an account right now. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. Be sure to check them out. All right. A crazy story out of Virginia. And I had a chance to speak with Katie Gorka over the weekend. That's our good buddy Seb Gorka's wife. And she's a top Republican in the state. And people are really upset about this story. Governor Glenn Youngkin has now ordered a criminal investigation into Fairfax County schools. And you may be wondering, what did they do? I mean, criminal? Yeah, criminal. It turns out that at least two young ladies, two teenage girls, were taken by teachers to get abortions. Moms and dads were left out of all of this. So there was no parental notification, none of that. As a matter of fact, it turns out, and again, the allegation is that public school dollars were used to pay for the abortions. In other words, your tax dollars funded abortions in Fairfax County at the local high school. One of the girls was so horrified, the reporting is that she was pressured into getting an abortion. She was so horrified, she was able to bolt up and run out of the abortion clinic. We're going to be talking to Katie Gorka about that story coming up next. 901-260-5926. This is The Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness. Wellness.
All right, Dylan, I know you're a big sports guy here. Did you catch any of the games over the weekend?
I saw some highlights.
Yeah, it was a busy weekend. I had to anchor 2 hours on Newsmax, so I didn't get much football watching it.
Dang, you didn't get much sleep either.
No, I did not. I wish I could say I did, but I did not. So anyway, you know, this male cheerleader thing is like getting worse. And people are really, really upset about this. But so here's the story. A number of NFL teams have decided to employ male cheerleaders. Now, these are not the big, bulky guys, you know, that are gymnasts that, you know, hurl the girls up in the air and then catch them. These are basically guys dancing like women would dance. Is that a fair? I'm trying to be fair here because they're very talented. It's just sort of a little off-putting to see guys prancing around like women.
It's like they're involved in the performance, like during the breaks and the halftime, they're involved in the dancing and the performing. It's different than the cheering and the tossing.
Yeah, right. There is no cheering or tossing. It's all just very sexually suggestive dancing, which if you're, you know, a beer-drinking NFL fan as a man, you would probably enjoy, I would say, the women doing that. The men, not so much. At least that's my take on it. So Tommy Lahren is defending the male cheerleaders. And let me just, before I get to what Tommy has to say, let me expand on this for just a moment. It's not so much that it's like, oh, we're guys and we're out here being, you know, go team go. It's more like go team go. It's that kind of a thing, right? And I did notice a few other things. They're raising their pom-poms, you know, in the air. They're shaking their pom-poms and their nether regions, which is a little weird. Okay, I get it. Dylan, I couldn't help but notice that they shaved their, these are grown men, like in their mid-20s, like 25. They shaved their armpits and their legs.
Yeah. No thanks.
That's got to leave a rash.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how do you...
I mean, that's a lot of work to upkeep.
It is. Do they use Lady Bix? I'm wondering.
Yeah. You would have to ask, I guess.
I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask.
I'm not going to ask.
Tommy Lahren says, I'm sorry, but I don't get the outrage over the male cheerleaders. Who cares? At least they're not pretending to be girls. Really? I don't know. I think they kind of want to be, they're acting like they're one of the girls. And it does seem to me that they're taking the place of an actual girl. And again, it's, I guess I could understand if they were throwing, I don't think these guys could do that. There's very little muscle there. You know, they've got these little pencil arms. I mean, maybe they could. But even their legs, they're not. And you can see everything because they shaved them, right? So there's... Tommy Lahren goes on. Male cheerleaders are not a new thing. Oh, well, It's not necessary for conservatives to be outraged over absolutely everything. It's inconsequential. So I don't, first of all, I don't think any of us in our audience are outraged over this. It's just weird, right? Because we went through the whole Dylan Mulvaney dude in a dress thing with Bud Light, and that almost bankrupted the company. So I think a lot of people are just sort of curious. I mean, if you're a guy football player, do you really want somebody, you know, do you want a dude writhing his nether regions in your face while you're trying to watch a football game? I don't know.
I wouldn't care if they weren't promoting it so much. Like, I genuinely wouldn't care.
Oh, it's in your face.
Yeah, it's all you see. All on their socials, they're, like, making a big star out of these guys. And as someone that just watches football, you don't care. But you're being forced to see it now.
Have you seen the videos?
Yes.
Yeah, they got the music video. I'm Blaze. I'm Bruce. I'm Blaine. We're cheerleaders.
They have such manly names.
And we're manly men. Arr, go team.
This can't end well.
Clearly they're putting it all out there. I mean, they're front and center of all the videos and the promotional stuff. So anyway, I will say that they might be able to resolve whatever controversy it is. And by the way, it's the fans that are taking issue. And I don't even know if Tommy Lahren's all about, you know, well, it's you conservatives. No, I don't think it is. I think you're talking about Minnesota Vikings fans, and maybe the rumor is they're going to be giving a third slot to a guy by the name of Tim Walz. So Governor Walz, he does jazz hands very well. I mean, the man knows his jazz hands, and he's got the moves. All that to say, let's just hypothetically say, God forbid, you've got multiple guys going down, you know, in the game with injuries, and that can happen because, you know, it's a pretty physical, manly sport. Maybe one of the guy cheerleaders can just run up. It's like, put me in, coach. I'm a tight end. And it just, I mean, could save the day and then become like a modern-day Rudy or a modern-day Trevor or Blaine. Will that work, Dylan? I could see a Lifetime movie.
Well, I would actually maybe prefer that because they would probably get ran over.
Definitely Bravo. Yeah. They'd be all over that storyline. So anyway, there you go. It is what it is, you know, but they're clearly, look, they're forcing this, and I don't know why, but it's just sort of a weird thing. It's okay. Of all the things, why this? Oh, there you go. 901-260-5926. Katie Gorka was on my Newsmax show over the weekend. We had a conversation about this school district in Fairfax County, Virginia. And I'm curious what you would do if this happened to your child, where the school took your daughter to get an abortion and didn't even tell you about it. Take a listen.
Joining me now is Catherine Gorka, chair of the Fairfax County Republican Committee. Catherine, I got to tell you, I've covered a lot of these stories. This one, I'm at a loss for words here on these allegations.
It's pretty incredible. But I got to tell you, it's been the summer of scandal for the Fairfax County Public Schools. This is just one in a series of stories that have really been rocking the county. One of the school board members has been charged of embezzlement, and there's been a lot of scandal over the last few weeks over the superintendent, Michelle Reed, requesting a $90,000 a year security detail. So I'm telling you, they're being hit hard. This is just one more story in a series.
So the local news stations are reporting that one of the girls actually went through with the abortion. The other managed to literally run away from the clinic. I just don't get this. What would possess these school workers to push these girls into having abortions?
Yeah, and we're actually hearing that the girl that did go through the abortion actually had to be taken to the hospital because apparently it didn't go well. But you ask what would bring them to do something like this? You know, honestly, it's in their family life education. They actually, in the 10th grade version of what they teach in, quote, family life education, it even teaches about secret abortions. So, you know, I think this is really part and parcel of the very leftist ideology that's pushed in the Fairfax County schools. FCPS is, I think, one of the most left-leaning school districts in the country.
How do you think the governor is handling this? He's launched a criminal probe into the allegations.
Well, I think he's absolutely doing the right thing, and I really commend him for it. He's been a great governor, and he's being strong on this, as well he should be. If this turns out to be true, this is violating, not only is it violating state law for not getting parental consent, as well as spending public funds on an abortion, but it is also a violation of school policy. So there could be, you know, we could see termination, we could see suspensions, we could even see criminal charges. It's very serious what's happened here.
I'm wondering about Republicans here in Fairfax County. Are you guys mobilizing, and are you seeing more people joining the party as a result of these far leftist tactics coming out of the school system there?
Yeah, it's an interesting time in Fairfax County because if you remember, we actually have a special election. Our Congressman Jerry Connolly passed away in May, so we've got a congressional race going on right now with voting on September 9th. And it's brought all these things to the fore. I tell you what I find the most interesting thing about this. Fairfax County has a very, very large legal immigrant community, between 25% and 30% of our population. As they get wind of what's actually being taught to their kids in schools and what's happening in the schools, they have been coming over in large numbers. And actually, many of them are reaching out to us and asking how can they get involved, because they are not happy with the direction that the Democrats have taken this county. So I think you're going to see really interesting things from Fairfax County in the weeks and months ahead.
And Catherine, I have to imagine, and I'm surprised that the federal government hasn't stepped in, especially with all the girls and the boys in the girls' locker rooms and these kinds of stories. I mean, this is just outrageous.
Well, actually, the federal government has stepped in. So the Department of Education filed Title IX complaints against Fairfax County, as well as some of the neighboring schools. And just today, Michelle Reed, the superintendent of Fairfax County Schools, sent an email out to all the parents countywide telling them that they are not going to comply with what the federal government is asking them, and they are going to continue to fight this.
All right, there you have it, folks. What would you do if that was your daughter? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. President Trump meeting with Zelensky in the Oval Office. So I'm just going to share this with you. We'll play the audio in the next hour. So we'll get to, because there are multiple things we've got to talk about here. This is where the conversation is going. A reporter asked Zelensky, what do you need from Trump? And Zelensky says everything. And so the reporter said, what do you mean by that? American troops, equipment, intelligence. Zelensky said everything. Trump says in response to that, we will have a phone call with Putin immediately after the talks, and says if there is no trilateral talks, the fighting continues. But beyond that, Trump said they may look at sending U.S. troops to Ukraine. Trump said, we'll let you know that maybe later today. We'll be involved. A somewhat vague remark. Does that mean that U.S. military troops would be going in the form of peacekeepers? What does that look like? And my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, would you support President Trump if we sent U.S. troops to Ukraine? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. That is going to be a game changer for a lot of conservatives and a lot of America First conservatives who don't believe we should have any troops anywhere near Ukraine. And I would say even peacekeeping. Why? Why? This is not our fight, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not our fight. I want to play some audio here. Just moments ago, Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend, a reporter with one of these Real American News or RSBN, one of these outfits. Anyway, he's in the press scrum, and here's what he asked.
First of all, Mr. President Zelensky, you look fabulous in that suit.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, look, you look good.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, looks good.
I said someone that attacked you last time. Yes. I remember that.
Yeah, I apologize to you. You look wonderful. No, my first question for you, President Zelensky.
In the same suit. You see, I changed you.
Maybe yours is much better.
All right. Well, there you go. So we'll see how all this plays out, but don't be surprised if we are sending troops, if that's where all of this is going. There is an interesting story out of Buford, Georgia. Are you familiar with this? Is a town that's very near, if I'm not mistaken, it's very near Gainesville. And they're making national news because they have just unveiled and just opened their brand new football stadium. It's the Philip Beard Stadium. And this is in Georgia. The new football stadium, are you ready for this, folks? $62 million. That's how much the new stadium is. It is pretty remarkable. And it looks like basically like a university football. I've never seen anything quite like this. But people are very excited. Buford has one of the top football programs in the state of Georgia. And as a matter of fact, they opened up the new stadium with a big win. And they've got, I mean, it's just remarkable. As a matter of fact, when you look at the high school, the actual high school looks like a university campus. It's really impressive. The city says that, and they're defending the big expenditure here by saying that, well, we could be hosting other things outside of football. We could have a huge economic impact on the city by doing all sorts of things like concerts and other things of that nature. So the stadium seats 11,000, but I think that's like half the population of the town. They have an 80-foot by 42-foot video board that's two-sided. This is unbelievable. You can watch it all in perfect definition. The concession stands have big-screen digital menus, air-conditioned luxury boxes. It's very impressive. And they say the bathrooms are spectacular. They kind of, I mean, dare I say they're on up there with Buc-ee's? They say the atmosphere, reading from Sports Illustrated, they're all over the story. The atmosphere went next level when the stadium lights were dimmed and the light ribbons that wrap three sides of the stadium traded advertisements for special effects. People were saying, wow, massive, unreal. And I have to imagine, I mean, for a high school football program, it's pretty impressive. So anyway, shockingly, as nice as it is, it's not even among the most expensive high school football stadiums in the country. And our friends over at USA Today go through all of that. Canton, Ohio, McKinley Senior High School, the high school stadium, $175.8 million. Kids can't read, but by golly, they got a great football stadium. Cypress Fairbanks Independent School District in Texas, $124.8 million. And you folks in Texas, you guys always do everything big. I know our Houston listeners, they've got no problem with high schools spending that sort of money on stadiums. $87.8 million in Katy, Texas. And then McKinney Independent School District in Texas, $87.7 million. Well, there you go. So by that comparison, Buford is just kind of like in the, I don't know, football projects. All right, got to take a break. And if you've been to the stadium, I want to hear from you. It looks amazing. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
I got to tell you, Trump is really playing all of this very masterfully here in the Oval Office as he's doing a sit-down Q&A press scrum with Volodymyr Zelensky. You know, it's interesting. Apparently, the only reporters allowed to ask questions are Steve Doocy from Fox and Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend. Regardless, Trump throwing some shade. And just so you're prepared and you know what's going on when you see the headlines and the mainstream media is freaking out, President Trump suggested that if the U.S. is involved in a war, then he just might cancel the elections. It's very clever. Let me explain the backstory here. Trump was actually making a funny joke and throwing some shade because Zelensky actually canceled the elections in Ukraine. I mean, they'll say they postponed it, but they haven't had elections yet. So Zelensky is a de facto dictator right now in Ukraine. And that's what that's all about. The big headline is that President Trump suggested that we might be sending U.S. troops to Ukraine. Some are speculating that would be in the form of peacekeepers. Curious to hear your thoughts on that, if you think that's a good move. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. A lot of the Bannon crowd from the America First movement would be very, very upset about that, because so many just don't believe we have any business being over there. I will say this, Bannon is very influential in the movement, and no doubt about that. No doubt about it. We'll keep you updated on what's happening there at the White House. We are expecting some sort of a statement coming out later this afternoon, but I am telling you right here and now that Donald Trump is in charge, and we'll see how this plays out. Also, the president making some news, he says that he's now going to get rid of mail-in ballots. The president going to issue an executive order. He says that the mail-in ballots are highly inaccurate and very expensive, and he's seriously considering getting rid of these costly and controversial voting machines as well. He said those voting machines cost 10 times more than accurate and sophisticated watermark paper, which is faster and leaves no doubt at the end of the evening as to who won and who lost the election. Reading the president's True Social post here, we are now the only country in the world that uses mail-in voting. All others gave it up because of the massive voter fraud encountered. We will begin this effort, which will be strongly opposed by the Democrats, because they cheat at levels never seen before. This is true. He says the executive order will bring honesty to the 2026 midterms. Remember, the states are merely an agent for the federal government in counting and tabulating the votes. They must do what the federal government, as represented by the President of the United States, tells them for the good of our country to do. And then the president goes on and on and on. Oh, look, this would be a game changer because we have seen so many reports of Democrats stuffing ballots and stuffing those ballot boxes. So I say, good for you, Mr. President. And if we can get rid of mail-in ballots, that will resolve most of the voting fraud in this country. So curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. There was a great debate among conservative blacks and liberal blacks. They do these debate circles. They call it a jubilee. And I want you to listen to this woke actress. Her name is Amanda Seales, and she got cooked by a black conservative. Take a listen to Cut 7.
Our ancestors wasn't asking for handouts. They were asking for equal opportunity. And we have equal opportunity in this country. We had a black president, just in case you didn't know. We had a black president and we had a black vice president. I think she was black. They said she was black. I don't know. So we had a black president, and you know who voted for that black man? White people, because you can't win a popular election in this country without white people. So Barack Obama is the product of white people. So let's get off this thing where, oh, America is so racist. What's making America so racist is people that continue to talk about racism and continue to focus on racism instead of focusing on unity and bringing our country forward. People that have this liberal mindset are infecting our communities, black people, and making us victims and not victors. I refuse to embrace a victim mentality because that's not what our grandparents and Harriet Tubman and those people fought for. They fought for
equal
opportunity.
Do not bring up Harriet Tubman's name in vain, baby. Please.
They said the Lord's name in vain. The Lord's name.
Harriet Tubman was literally saving her family and others from slavery.
Yeah. You know who helped her? White people.
You know who helped her?
They were on the Underground Railroad.
No,
saying,
no,
come on in.
No,
come
you
on
know
in.
Who helped her?
Come on in.
No,
back.
You know who helped her?
God and
people, Harris. People who benefit from white supremacy. One of the things
it's
that
a lie. White supremacy is a lie.
No, sir,
it's
that's simply
lie.
Not
there's
true.
No such, I mean,
if
some,
that were not the case, then we wouldn't see the continued effort of colonialism and white people placing themselves in positions of power
you
when
know
they
why
do not
they're in
have
position
the power.
Of power? Because
Let
their
me hear
culture.
This.
Black culture is toxic. The black culture is toxic. We have produced a culture that is toxic. And let's get on the fact that there's no fathers
so
in
white
the black
culture
home.
Is
a, Let's talk about that.
This, none of this is going to work if y'all are just going to sit here and make up.
We have
it's not
going
to work. No, it's a debate.
You're
in fact.
You're putting off emotional liberalism.
You're putting off unfounded lies
based in conservatism.
That's
what y'all do. Y'all start saying misinformation. Remember they
it
did the misinformation thing all summer where everything
Look
conservative
at this man.
Did. They said
you're
misinformation.
You're carrying a chain around your neck of an apartheid nation that actively wants to harm black people and non-Jewish people.
What about the apartheid? What about
but let me bring it back.
What about when
let
black people were
back.
Selling black people
let me
in
bring
Africa
it, that was not happening in the context
in
that you're saying.
And they were selling
Let's
their own
bring
people.
It back.
Black people still sell
okay.
their own people today, too, by the way.
I don't know if I'm going to last.
We're selling our own people today,
I don't know if I'm going to last.
You probably won't last with me.
I won't because your ignorance is so overwhelming.
See, y'all, that's liberals. Y'all start name-calling when
no,
y'all getting defeated
it's not
in an argument.
Calling.
Wow. Look, my props to this guy. But you get a good example now of why there can't be any sort of fair-minded debate in this country, because you've got a bunch of Jasmine Crockett wannabes out there. And instead of having a rational conversation, they go full-blown ghetto like they're at Chuck E. Cheese or about to get on board a Carnival cruise line. This is insanity. But the guy is absolutely right. This is all based on emotion. And whenever the left starts losing the argument, they start hurling around the insults. And that's what's really going on here. So here is a female black conservative, cut number 8.
So I think I'm coming from a place, and I guess my issue is having had my biological father murdered by a black man, having had my cousin shot in the head by a black man. We can talk numbers and statistics and what the people are doing, what the white man is doing and all that. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, I see when my family lives on the south side of Chicago, and I think you and I both can attest to this, and I'm not saying that they're not other factors, but we know that we kill each other at a disproportionate rate than any other race. Now, why we do that and why 6,000 to 9,000 black men are going to be homicided or killed or whatever by the end of the year annually by other black men, whereas the likelihood of a black man being killed by a white police officer is less than 150 per year, we know that we kill each other at a higher rate. So I'm not debating that they're not factors at play, but because I've lived the experience as a black woman losing my father to be murdered by a black man walking
down
the street.
I'm sorry to hear that, by the way.
No worries. Thank you. But walking down the street in inner cities and different things, knowing that it's more likely that my own brother will rob and rape me than a white man or a white officer. We got
to
be real.
What's your proximity to white men in the south side of Chicago? Are there even white men around to rob and rape you at the same rate that there are black men?
There are white men around.
At the same rate?
There wasn't a lot of black people in there, but then that doesn't justify the fact that we're destroying each other. So even if we get
nothing,
to the root, like,
wait, not, we can agree on that,
okay, because I feel like a lot of
nothing
times liberals
justifies,
will argue, like, well,
I'm
well,
not
the
a
white
liberal.
People are killing
I am
people.
Not a liberal. I'm not a liberal.
Okay. Well, I will
He's
say that
leftist.
People that sometimes have your stance that are against conservatives, maybe, they have this claim that they're making it up, they're making up the numbers. We know that we do that to each other. So I want to get to the root of the issue. Why are
what
we killing
is the
each
root
other?
Of the issue?
I think the root of the issue is we've lost our values and we've lost our resilience as black people. We sit there and we talk about what the white man did and we talk about slavery and everything like that, but we have no self-accountability and say, you know what, at the end of the day, that is my black grandmother, that is my black sister, you are my black sister, and you know that a black man is more likely to rob you or commit some type of crime against you. And that's what we need to get down to the issue of. And like you were talking about earlier, like, hey, well, what's going on? You know, what do you think the answer is to one of the brothers that we're speaking? I think it's the breakdown of the family. I think, like he said, because of our poor choices. And what happens is we look at domestic violence, for example. When domestic violence, women or men are even attacked, what is the first thing we say? It's like, you know what? It's not your what? It's not your fault. So that's what we do. We hold on to this narrative that, well, it's not our fault and the issues in our community are not our fault. And the white man needs to give us something. The old white lady down the street is looking at me and I don't know why she got braids in her hair. And we focus on all these other stupid things that don't matter. We don't get to the root of the fact that we're killing each other at a higher rate than any other race. It is self-hatred amongst us, I believe, that we can do that. That we, my cousin, my mom's cousin, excuse me, coming from the church parking lot, and guess who stuck her up and robbed her at gunpoint? A black man.
Doesn't I need exist. You to get to the point.
Like,
so
my
I can
point
respond.
Is that, no, and I'm not trying to be funny. Unless, like you said, we're going to keep it respectful.
Yeah, but you're monopolizing the whole conversation.
I'm
we're not
trying,
being
okay,
able
I'm
going
to let you speak, but let's not.
Wow. There you go. And again, this is all about blacks coming off of the Democrat Party plantation. But there is a culture issue. And that's not to say that every other race doesn't have those issues, but by and large, it is a significant problem. And it's especially bad in majority black cities, Memphis, Tennessee being one of them, where I would say, conservatively speaking, 97-98% of the crime is committed by black people, and an overwhelming number of the victims are, in fact, black people, as you just heard this young lady say. And she said it very well. But then you have people like Joyless Reed out there. And again, this is all part of critical race theory. This is, and I know that a lot of schools are no longer teaching critical race theory. It doesn't matter, because we educated a generation of young people on critical race theory that white people are evil. And now we're having to deal with that within the culture. It's gone from the schoolhouse now into the culture at large. Here's Joyless Reed.
They can't fix the history they did. Their ancestors made this country into a slave hell. But they can clean it up now because they got the Smithsonian. They can get rid of all the slavery stuff. They got PragerU. They can lie about the history to the children. They can't originally invent anything more than they ever were able to invent good music. We black folk gave y'all country music, hip hop, R&B, jazz, rock and roll. They couldn't even invent that, but they have to call a white man the king. because they couldn't make rock and roll. So they have to stamp the king on a man whose main song was stolen from an overweight black woman.
That's Joyless Reed, and she's attacking Elvis Presley. And she's saying that you white people have never invented anything. That's what they think. Look, this is what people like Joy Reid and her ilk, that's what they really think about people. It's a horrible form of racism. But this idea, and again, it's always important to put things in context here. When slavery was happening in the South and in the nation at large, only 1.4% of Americans owned slaves. Out of all the Americans, so this notion that every single white person in America owned a slave is just simply not true. 1.4% of the population, of the white population, actually owned slaves. And a good many of those people, by the way, those white people, were in fact indentured in some capacity. Yes, there were white slaves in America. And another thing, and you heard the gentleman bring this up in the debate, the fact of the matter is, if you want to know who started the slave trade, well, you have to go back to the kings of Africa and those African tribes. They're the ones who sold their own people into slavery. Does that exonerate any American? No, of course not. I'm just saying you got to put it into context here, people. By the way, can I share this before we go to break? This is insane. So we just had Elvis week here. And Elvis is the king of rock and roll. I mean, Joyless Reed says Elvis is a poser and that Elvis stole all of his music from black people. Elvis Presley learned his moves and everything from black churches that he gladly attended. He was passionate about that. Elvis Presley was a man who had an integrated band. And he stood his ground on those issues. But anyway, that doesn't matter to people like Joy Reid. Anyway, thousands of people in town for Elvis Week. And our mayor, our black mayor, Paul Young, completely ignored Elvis. I mean, just ignored it. I mean, you have tens of thousands of people here. They also had a People's Hip Hop Awards where they were promoting this as like a massive event. And it turned out to be a complete debacle. Hardly anybody showed up. The main sponsor pulled out, and instead of generating this, oh, this is going to generate $100 million. I don't even think they were able to fill up the arena for the award ceremony. But the mayor put out a statement, and I've got to read this to you, and then we go to break. The mayor said this: Elvis Week brought fans from across the globe, while the People's Hip Hop Awards celebrated our own legends. Jeez, hallelujah. You know, try to reel in the racism, Mr. Mayor. You know, those white people that you despise? Yeah, you know, we pay taxes around here too, sir. Gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, I want to go back and play this again. This is Joy Reid attacking Elvis Presley as a racist and also white people in general. She said, you white people never did anything. Elvis Presley never did anything.
They can't fix the history they did. Their ancestors made this country into a slave hell. But they can clean it up now because they got the Smithsonian. They can get rid of all the slavery stuff. They got PragerU. They can lie about the history to the children. They can't originally invent anything more than they ever were able to invent good music. We black folk gave y'all country music, hip hop, R&B, jazz, rock and roll. They couldn't even invent that, but they have to call a white man the king. because they couldn't make rock and roll. So they have to stamp the king on a man whose main song was stolen from an overweight black woman.
Mm-mm-mm. So says the woman who wears a blonde wig. That's a little cultural appropriation there. But I someone called in and said, well, wait a second. Tell Todd about the black student that Elvis helped out. And it's true. Elvis was at a car dealership in the Memphis area, and a young lady was trying to buy a car and so she could get to work. She's trying to go to school, go to college. And so Elvis ended up buying her a car and giving her a job. And her job assignment was to study. That was it. But there's a lot more to it, because Elvis Presley, and you folks in Houston know this, Elvis refused to perform in Houston at the Astrodome if his black backup singers were not allowed to be there. So Joy Reid needs to start doing her homework and educate herself. 901-260-5926. No, Elvis was not a racist, ladies and gentlemen.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, I wasn't paying much attention to the clock there, and so I wanted to finish my comments about Elvis, because this bothers me when people attack the king of rock and roll. And you don't do that, Joyless Reid. And Joyless Reid saying that Elvis stole black people's music and that Elvis was a racist. Well, here's the facts. So in 1970, Elvis was supposed to perform at the Astrodome in Houston, and he refused to do so without his black backup singers. And he was making a statement about racial equality. But even long before then, Elvis embraced the civil rights movement. His music was always rooted in rhythm and blues, and that's because he was literally born and grew up in a predominantly black community in Tupelo. And that's where he was exposed to music in the early days of his childhood. Elvis also credited black musicians for being an influence to him, and he also acknowledged over and over and over again the black origins of rock and roll music. I love the story out of Houston, though. The ladies were known as the Sweet Inspirations, and he was asked to leave them behind, and he said, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And he made sure they were seen and treated with respect. And they were. Elvis, the song If I Can Dream was actually inspired by MLK Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, talking about racial harmony and equality. By the way, many black musicians at the time praised Elvis because he opened doors for black music and black musicians, and he challenged these racial prejudices that were out there. So this is the story that needs to be told. But it's really shameful that people like Joy Reid are out there and they're allowed to spew these lies without anybody at all fighting back. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. You're going to want to watch. Newsmax, of course, now on the New York Stock Exchange, and millions of people are joining our news revolution. We're the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN, and we're one of the top news brands in America. That's not according to us, by the way. That's according to Reuters. 40 million Americans now go to Newsmax for all sorts of great programming. So I want to encourage you to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV. You can start watching right away. You can get the free Newsmax app. You can also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Well, I want to go back and play some audio here. This is from the state of Texas. And by the way, good news, all of the Democrats have come back. They are now back. And the question is, what's going to happen now? And it seems to me, and I'm curious to hear from all of our great Texas listeners, what do you want the Republicans in your state to do? My recommendation, get them inside that Capitol building, and as soon as they are there, lock every door, and you stand a Texas law enforcement officer, whether the Texas Rangers, whoever, you have them guarding every entrance and exit to the state Capitol. And you force the vote. Get the vote on redistricting done. Get it over with. That's what I would like to see happen. So anyway, we're taking your calls on this. 901-260-5926. What do you want the Republicans in Texas to do? So there's a guy by the name of James Tallarico. He is a Democrat, Texas state rep, and his father or grandfather, somebody in the family, was a pastor. And this guy is enraged right now because he doesn't want the Ten Commandments posted in classrooms. Take a listen.
I say this to you as a fellow Christian. Representative Noble, I know you're a devout Christian, and so am I. This bill, to me, is not only unconstitutional, it's not only un-American, I think it is also deeply unchristian. And I say that because I believe this bill is idolatrous, I believe it is exclusionary, and I believe it is arrogant. And those three things, in my reading of the gospel, are diametrically opposed to the teachings of Jesus. You probably know Matthew 6:5, when Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. A religion that has to force people to put up a poster to prove its legitimacy is a dead religion. And it's not one that I want to be a part of. It's not one that I think I am a part of. You know that in Scripture it says faith without works is what?
Dead.
Is dead. My concern is instead of bringing a bill that will feed the hungry, clothe the naked, heal the sick, we're instead mandating that people put up a poster. And we both follow a teacher, a rabbi, who said, don't let the law get in the way of loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor is the most important law. It is the summation of all the law and all the prophets. I would submit to you that our neighbor also includes the Hindu student who sits in a classroom, the Buddhist student who sits in a classroom, and an atheist student who sits in a classroom. And my question to you is, does this bill truly love those students?
Well, I would say yes, it does, because back when the Ten Commandments was mandated to be in public school classrooms, we didn't have kids running around shooting each other in the hallways. Just want to point that out for just a moment. But the reality is, when you walk into our many of the beautiful ornate buildings in Washington, D.C., you will find religious messages. And I got no disrespect for the Hindu people or the Buddhist people or the atheist people. Well, maybe the atheist. But let me say this. They didn't found America. The Christians did that. And this nation, ladies and gentlemen, and there is no arguing this point, this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian teachings, period. That's it. End of story. End of story. When you walk into the Capitol building, you're going to see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers. This is the Supreme Court. In the Supreme Court building, you're going to find Moses. You're going to find the Ten Commandments. As you enter the Supreme Court, you're going to find two huge oak doors that have the Ten Commandments engraved on each lower portion of the door. And when you sit down in the courtroom, you're going to see the wall right above where the Supreme Court judges sit, a display of the Ten Commandments. There are Bible verses etched in stone all over the federal buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, the very top pinnacle of the Washington Monument, there is a Latin phrase that means praise be to God. James Madison, the fourth president, known as the father of the Constitution, once said, "We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to not the Quran, not whatever the Buddhists worship, not whatever the Hindus worship, but according to the Ten Commandments of God." Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Do you see any wiggle room in any of that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you see any of it? I'm just telling you that right now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a wealth of evidence, and most of it is engraved on our buildings in Washington, D.C., that verify the writings of our founding fathers that our nation was meant to be a Christian nation. So the idea in Texas, of all places, that is somehow some sort of a gross sin to post the Ten Commandments, that's a load of hooey. And I don't know what kind of a preacher his grandpa or his daddy was, but it sure as heck ain't a Christian preacher. I'm just saying. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Mike in Clear Lake City, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. All right, Mike, what's on your mind?
Hello. Say, I just had a question for you. Why is it okay? I'd like for somebody on the other side of the aisle to explain to me, why is it okay for Muslim countries to be Muslim, Buddhist countries to be Buddhist, Hindu countries to be Hindu, but it's not okay for America to be Christian? I mean, just with that, I mean, I totally understand the history of the country. I've got pretty much everything David Barton and Wall Builders has produced. But with all that aside, just the concept, why is it okay for other countries to be, say, singular religion, but it's not okay for us?
Mike, it's a great question, and I'm telling you, this is all about the gospel of Christ, and it triggers the atheist, it triggers the non-believers. The fact is that Muslims are able to come here and practice their faith because of Christianity, because we give people the freedom of religion. I don't care what your religion is, as long as you don't want to blow up mine, I'm good with that. But we are watching now the Islamification, and here's the thing, Mike. Over the weekend, you had thousands of people marching in the streets of Dearborn, Michigan, not a single American flag in the mix. And I'm telling you, nobody's complaining about that, and they never will because they're terrified. You know, they know what happened on 9/11, so they're terrified of that. So what do? They turn around and they attack Christians. One of my greatest fears is that we are on the verge of all-out war among the religions, and the Islamists are positioning people all over the globe right now.
Well, if you look at Genesis 16:12, he will be a wild donkey of a man, live to the east of his brothers. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. And that's where we're at right now. That's what you just described.
That's it. And believe it or not, you guys in Texas are really struggling with this issue right now. And you're watching, you know, the whole Islamic city that they're trying to create. I mean, this is insane that it's happening right there in the Bible Belt.
Well, the thing that gets me about that whole situation, you're talking about Epic City, but Colony Ridge, which was the illegal alien master plan community that they snuck in and no one seemed to notice. But yet now all of a sudden it's Epic City and that seems to be a problem. And it's the same politicians and the same people, you know, they got their panties in a twist over Epic City. And I agree, granted, but why didn't they get upset when it was the illegal alien master plan community? Personally, I think there's too many of them on somebody's payroll.
I would tend to agree with you on that, Mike. Thank you for calling in, my friend. Thanks for supporting our friends at Patriot Talk 920. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to all of our friends listening on Real Talk Radio in St. Louis. You guys had a huge, huge birthday party, and what a great turnout. And we just love all of our friends over at Real Talk Radio in St. Louis. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I have to encourage you folks to check out my friends at the Association of Mature American Citizens. They are the conservative alternative to AARP. And they're standing up for the values that built this nation. We just talked about some of those values. If you join AMAC, you're going to get some incredible discounts on travel, insurance, prescription drugs, exclusive member resources, and a subscription to AMAC magazine. It really is one of the best publications out there for patriotic Americans. And the best part, are you ready for this? I want you to step back for a moment. It's $1.20 a month, $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns and join the fight to keep America strong.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, welcome back. So things are wrapping up. By the way, what did I tell you? The media is always already going bonkers saying that Trump is threatening to cancel elections. You know, the sad thing is that they're just so predictable, the media is. It's really, really unfortunate. By the way, just want to share this with you from the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. We're getting this press statement in. Democrats finally back to work after cowardly publicity stunt. They're saying after weeks of abandoning their constituents, the AWOL Democrats have finally crawled back to their post. Their so-called absence was nothing more than a calculated ploy for TV time and fundraising, leaving their constituents and victims of the Hill Country flooding high and dry while they chased headlines and stuffed their campaign pockets. So now the question is, what are the Republicans going to do? Are we finally going to be able to get around to redistricting? Again, if I were the Republicans, I'd be posting the Texas Rangers at every single door and making sure nobody got out of that building, period. That's what I would do. And I hope they do it. But because this is insane. But the runaway Democrats are now finally back in Texas. All right, coming up tonight, folks, we're going to have the very latest, a breakdown on what happened today with the meeting with Zelensky and the European leaders, as well as NATO. President Trump is apparently going to be reaching out to Putin sometime this afternoon, and we'll let you know what happens there as well. All of that coming up tonight on Newsmax. By the way, the president looking just large and in charge right now. They're doing the big photograph of all the world leaders, and then there's that teeny tiny little fella, Zelensky. It's kind of like he's a Oompa Loompa. That's what he looks like right now in the photos. It's very sad. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Ladies and gentlemen, just want to remind you about some free resources we have. By the way, we have a lot of new listeners in the Columbus, Georgia area, so welcome to you guys, Lexington, Kentucky as well. We have free resources at toddstarnes.com. One of those happens to be our podcast. You get all 3 hours of our show. You can listen to it at your leisure, and I would encourage you to do that. And you can download and subscribe to the podcast free of charge at toddstarnes.com. We also have a newsletter, and the newsletter comes out once a day, and we normally provide 2 or 3 big stories of the day that we're following, and it's a way for you to stay informed, and you're going to be getting exclusive content and commentary from yours truly. And you can get that again at toddstarnes.com, as well as downloading our free app. So 3 free things for you at the website. And then we want you to buy something, which will be my new book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. That is available at your favorite bookstore. You can also order right now on Amazon. All right, folks, got to scoot out of here. Been a great, busy start to the week. We'll be back at it tomorrow. If you're in the Nashville area, be sure to join us at Ollie's Pizza in Hendersonville. We've got a big event tomorrow evening. We'll be seeing you tomorrow, everybody. Be good, America.
Americans may not agree on much, but we agree on Social Security. We all pay in. It ought to be there when we need it. Social Security could face a funding gap in less than a decade. And I don't want to see a pay cut. I'm with AARP in the fight to protect the Social Security we earned.
Pledge to protect Social Security at aarp.org/we earned it. That's aarp.org/we earned it. Paid for by AARP.